The Books of Zizagoras, Parallel Lines, written and produced by Dean Cook. Chapters 1 and 2, The Old Man and the Bunker.
Recesses of his dungeon, an old man stared at the cobbled floor in silent contemplation. His once resplendent and decorative robe was covered in dirt, depriving him of any previous status. He remained motionless on the slimy green floor, silent, cold. A key turned in the lock. The old man lifted his head and squinted into the shaft of light that broke in through the open door and penetrated his cell. In front of him stood the jailer, hands on hips, mockingly.
Oh, old man, I see they've transferred you to my wing at last. Under my care. No visitors, no strumpets of the night, and no toilet paper. And yes, that's a 14-foot special.
The jailer pointed at the metal chain that coiled around the prisoner's body, anchoring him to the dungeon floor.
And no self-abuse, neither. It weakens the spirit, and that's my job. 15 feet. That's where I'm going to place your slop bucket today. How a prisoner reaches his slop bucket has always been a source of great entertainment to us jailers. So I'm expecting great things from you, old man. I reckon you're on a 50-50 with hitting the target from there. Nice.
Please, please. Do you know where the books of Zizagoras are?
The jailer ignored him, strode out of the cell and locked the door behind him, laughing. Alone once more, the old man pulled hard on his chains with the frustration of it. No one was listening.
Let me go now!
The cell returned to its previous inky blackness. Every generation is born a child. The mentor passes on secret knowledge to the child through the books of Zizagoras. These books help the child grow and take his place as the guardian of the parallels. Dare Creason opened the book in his possession. Deep in their underground bunker, Switch awoke to the sound of cannon fire, only to find his friend Creason staring back at him from the end of his bed.
Creason! Creason!
He bolted upright, cracked his forehead against the metal-framed bunk bed, and fell over his own marsh waders.
Oh, you're under attack!
Why am I handcuffed to the bed? And why are you holding onto my finger?
I like your...
What?
Key? I think they have detected our regis.
Hold on. What the hell's our Book of Zizagoras doing out?
Uh-huh.
Is that why we've been detected?
Enough of all these questions.
But we agreed to keep it in its lead-lined chest.
Cannot you see I am busy?
Please tell me you didn't take it out.
I'm working on it.
Dennis has started up now.
We need to launch that robotic chicken decoy now.
And why are all those Regis suddenly scared shitless of him?
Because I got him humping one of them yesterday.
You what?
From a dark corner of the bunker, Dennis, the robotic chicken decoy, fluffed out his metal wings, extended his copper-wound wiry legs, and let out a magnificent chunter that caused every Regie in the place to dive for cover.
Look, if he doesn't stop getting it on with my marsh waders, I'm going over there to kick him.
No, don't step over there or too late. Reggie Poo, disaster.
Oh.
I have not had a chance to clean up yet.
Son.
Sorry.
Oh, I don't believe this.
Okay, I'm on the case. Pass the frying pan.
With pleasure.
Come on, Dennis, now. Chicken in the basket.
Your head up.
Like a Reggie on heat, Dennis fled for the safety of his corner, but Switch 2 was on him. He grabbed the thing round the throat, stuffed him into the bunker's ejector tube, and watched as Krayson pumped the firing mechanism and let fly before anyone could say Reggie prime rib breakfast.
Chicken ejected!
Do you think they'll fall for it?
Maybe.
Will they follow that decoy away from our bunker?
Depends whether he lands us up.
So why was I handcuffed to the bed?
I don't know.
And why were you holding my finger? Did you say?
No, I didn't.
Oh, damn, it hasn't worked, has it?
Oh, joy!
Was it the Reggies or you and your hot book of Zyzagras that gave us
all? I reckoned it was that metal plate in your head, old junk.
Ah, here we go. The excuse for everything.
That is a fine piece of surgery.
So given this lot outside are coming for tea, do we need to get out the nice cutlery?
Switch pointed at the weapons locker and their need to make ready, at which point they froze.
Oh, for God's sake, look at the control panel.
A howling, whistling devil of a shell had just the right note about it. Look. The hair on the back of their necks stood to attention. The shrill of its flight heightened their senses and caused the bunker's proximity alarm to ring ever louder in their ears. The Reggies all followed the chicken and piled into the ejector tube.
Oh, that's nice.
Both men threw themselves headlong under the breakfast table.
Incoming!
Instantly, the shell dug into them. The sheer force of it took out the main support beam, cracking it in two and compelling it down on their heads. The lead-lined case that would have protected the Book of Zyzagoras disintegrated in a ball of flames. Bunker debris lay strewn everywhere. The crackle of small fires, charred remains, and the stench of acrid smoke filled the air.
Chapter 3. I didn't mean to pull the pin.
Out in the marshlands from where the shells had come from, telltale plumes of smoke billowed into the morning mist. Switch lifted his head up from the floor, only to watch as a cloud of dust fell from his hair and stung his eyes. The acidity of it made him catch his breath and cough. He spat, wiped the dirt away with his sleeve, and forced his body up against the weight of debris still clinging to his back. It didn't budge. Slowly, he edged himself sideways in an effort to find another way up, only to roll headlong into Krayson and his Book of Zyzagoras trying to do the same thing.
Hi.
Hi.
Hello.
Krayson.
Solid Oak table this.
What? The one currently lying on top of us.
Shall we?
You're right there. You appear to be bleeding.
It is nothing. How is your head?
Well, apart from the usual headaches.
Listen, if I had not put that metal plate in your head, you would be dead by now.
Mind that cable.
Oh, bugger that!
Candle.
Stupid damn thing. There is my lighter.
Switch watched as Krayson yanked on its mechanism and summoned the flame forth before holding it above his head.
Oh, my God.
For a brief second, it showed the rest of the bunker to be completely devastated.
We're trapped, aren't we?
Some of the Reggies had copped it as well.
We need to locate the weapons locker. They'll be here any minute.
This is not good.
Is the book okay?
On my seat, over there.
Oh.
What now?
I need to do something about my toes. The Reggie shit I stood in.
Forget that. We have more important things for you to worry about.
Like what?
I need to know that you remember things.
You mean remember things before you're let stick a metal plate in his head and hope for the best trick?
No. The things I have taught you since.
Oh, no.
About the books of Zyzagoras.
As if we have time
here,
for this.
Read the inscription on the back of the book.
Oh, not now.
I need to be sure.
There's no time.
Before we are taken.
The wee man seemed to have the fortitude of a lion when it came to his book. His conviction clearly allowed him to suspend any fear of the assault as he defaulted to the wisdom of his spiritual studies, to the finding of the books of Zyzagoras, and the underlying message and esoteric wisdom that they imparted to all those that listened. Switch had been listening to Krayson for 3 years, but still he didn't understand it. He grabbed the book for the umpteenth time as instructed, held it up to the candle and looked it up and down for any new clue. For a tomb of 1 foot square adorned with huge metal locks, it was surprisingly light. And for a book that apparently contained secret knowledge, It was surprisingly thin. Switch turned it over and read from the back as ever.
I know this stuff off by heart these days. Porat ur Yosef Taya Heras.
Every generation is born a Giles.
Sotrum res pac kitu ebku releg shmiz Isagoras.
Mentor passes on the secret knowledge to the child through the books of Isagoras.
Must I?
Yes.
Fine. Shmeltum opana reput krik repana shmedi urate parallelotok.
This book helps the child grow and take his place as the guardian of the parallels.
Yep. There. Great. Makes perfect sense.
I think so.
Oh, no.
Damn! They're here already.
Shit.
Above them, the sound of powerful engines filled the bunker, causing a wave of pain to crash through Switch's mind. Nothing else ever hurt, just his head. Like an instant migraine, like toothache, it just came over him at the most inopportune moments. This pain, this annoying, gnawing, insistent pain, stopped him dead. He could do nothing but close his eyes to wait and slowly regain his senses, knew that if he could just ride the wave, it would come to pass. Grayson stood by him and rubbed the back of his neck.
Try not to worry.
Not now.
But side effects from the metal plate are to be expected.
What, after 3 years?
The books, the pains, none of it made sense. Perhaps if he could just remember the life he once had, the one before the operation. He knew he had dreams, vivid ones at that. But one thing did stay with him. A face. A girl's face.
They're all sorted.
What the hell are they doing up there? Oh, I appear to have stood on that lovely picture of your mother that was on the breakfast table.
That wasn't the face.
Give it here. Stinks a bit. A little singed around the edges. A boy should always stay in touch with his mother.
So do you want to tell me again how we find this lost child? Or stay in touch with your mother by hiding in a bunker and going nowhere in all this time?
It was certainly true that they might occasionally stray up to the surface and barter for supplies from passing mercenary ships. But most of the time, they'd just stay underground.
So come on, what was our book of Isagoras doing out of its box? Did you say at all?
I told you, I was admiring the shiny cover.
You do know they'll be coming down that shaft any second.
You know that only the lost child can open a book of Isagoras.
They're after it, aren't they?
It remains locked to all those who cannot see.
Come on, Grayson, you want to know exactly what's inside it just as much as I do.
Even to me.
Please get a move on.
To open the book, you need a key, and only the lost child has the key.
This is no time for a sermon.
Stop the noise!
Look, we can hear them. They're coming.
Sounds like someone's removing a hat.
Above their heads, a high-pitched metallic clink echoed down the bunker's entry shaft at them, followed by a sudden rush of cold air. The smoke that had fogged their lungs span in an upward spiral and rose to escape its fate. More clinks. Yet this time, a grinding, metal on metal waning. Only one thing sounded like that. The unmistakable sonorousness of their bunker hatch being removed. Suddenly, a flood of daylight streamed down the shaft and illuminated the long climb ladder at the far end. Yet the multicolored threads of light that reflected off its handles came with a bonus. They picked out the weapons locker. They both dug like mad dogs with their hands, dragged it clear, and threw open its door to find both thwackle blasters still intact.
Come on,
better take a look.
The gun felt light in Switch's hands as he clambered over the debris to the shaft and shot a glance up before pulling away, only to watch as an object fell from the sky and bounced on the floor at his feet.
Grenade!
No.
He fell back, he fell forward. He rolled onto his side and threw himself over the bunker breakfast table for all he was worth. Nothing happened.
Why hasn't it gone off?
I don't know.
Oh, for God's sake, it's not a grenade. It is Dennis, rolled up into a ball.
Why did you even think it was one?
Scared the crap out of me.
So our decoy is programmed to lead people to us rather than away from us, is it? Hold on. It's got a little note hanging around its neck. It reads, surrender or the chicken gets it. Do you think this lot are a bit confused? I mean, how does the chicken get it if he's down here with us? Doesn't make sense.
Grayson joined him to take a look for himself. Out of curiosity, he turned the note over to find more words on the reverse. He read it.
The grenade is in the chicken. Oh, shit!
What? What is it?
Grab him!
Dennis assumed a rooster-style kung fu fighting stance.
The splits! You took him out with the frying pan.
I think you'll find he walked onto that.
Did I mention the grenade was inside the chicken?
No.
It was on the note. Perhaps I should have said...
I could have blown us both to kingdom come.
He needs to pass it in the orangey little tray.
Amazing how you know where that tray is now.
I am deadly serious.
Do you mean this grenade here?
Bloody hell.
I didn't mean to pull the pin.
Quick!
Grayson grabbed it off him, ran over to the ejector tube, tossed it in and hit the deployment lever. They both breathed hard. Yet their breathing was labored. Still flicking away, the flames were slowly eating up their oxygen. The only fresh air coming their way was from that entry shaft.
They must have disabled the fans too.
We're stuffed, aren't we?
Seems so.
For 3 years, they'd survived every type of attack. Yet today was different. They'd been completely neutralized without getting off a single shot. Had their book been detected, or was it just a Reggie raiding mission after all? Only by climbing the ladder would they know.
Listen, before we go, is there anything you want to tell me about this handcuff business?
No.
Fine. I'd offer to give you a hand up the ladder. It would appear my hand's already spoken for.
Just your finger.
We're coming up. What about the book?
What about it?
You can't just leave it here.
Bring it with you.
What, and just surrender it to them?
I am thinking up your shirt.
That's the first place they'll bloody look.
Maybe.
Have it your way.
Switch undid his shirt, swiveled the book around to his back, mounted the ladder and slowly climbed the 50 or so rungs to the marshland surface above. As they ascended, he could feel the book's reassuring curves and embossed type pressing snugly into his back. All he had ever known, could ever remember, either lay in ruins, was hidden under his jacket, or was following him up the ladder. His head hurt as the rays of light from up above bore down on their faces.
Chapter 4. Prepare for interrogation.
Although the marshlands were dull and grey at the best of times, it took Switch a good few seconds to acclimatize to the light from up above.
I'm at the top.
He didn't often climb to the surface, but it was exactly as he remembered it. The dark green sod, the brown muddy ditch water, the marble-esque hillocks forming a valley 5 miles wide set against a battle-grey sky.
Look at that.
Fail!
Behind him, Grayson also emerged to see the unwelcome sight of giant wheels from an armored vehicle that dug deep into the marshland sod. But where were their attackers? Grayson reorientated Switch towards the rope ladder that flapped in the wind at the base of the vehicle and extended upwards, inviting them to continue their ascent.
Better keep going.
Why climb at all? Can't we just leg it?
Outrun a tank?
Fair enough.
After you.
You're all heart.
Perhaps we can negotiate with them.
Switch had never seen a ship this big before. Like all military vehicles that traverse the marshlands, this craft was both part ship and part tank. However, unlike the small rusty trader shanks that came a-visiting with supplies, this military vehicle with its huge cannon stood 7 stories tall. On one of the many lonely nights that he'd shared with Grayson, Switch remembered his friend telling him about these huge battle tanks and how they used a combination of keel and caterpillar, which they deployed dependent on how waterlogged the marshlands were. Grayson had explained that when the ground was firm, the tank used its caterpillars. Alternatively, when the ground was waterlogged, it floated its keel and set sail till it reached the next piece of dry land. Switch found it hard to imagine, but now that he was here, he had a certain familiarity about it. As they climbed on board, Captain Cupid stood legs akimbo in front of his mirror and basked in the light of the mock lanterns that cast deep shadows throughout his sumptuous first-class cabin.
Your Majesty!
Majesty, what splendid jumpers! Oh, I am indeed a triumph. Look at me, orbs and scepter glistening in the moonlight.
That is a fine jumper, got a piece, sir, Capitano. The Queen will be loving it.
Carlos immediately empathized with his captain's reenactment of the breaching of Her Majesty's balcony on a warm summer's night with news of his latest victory.
Why are you in the way?
I wasn't going to give you a leg up, Capitano.
How would you like to buff the decks off with the cheeks of your ass?
They're still smutting from last time, Capitano.
Where are the soon-to-be-dead people?
Sir?
The prisoners from that hillock, you bollock. Oh. The ones we've been firing on for the last hour or so.
Running up the side, about to be dragged on deck by the testicles, Capitano.
You excellent!
Carlos pointed out of the porthole window to give his captain some navigational reference.
And there's something to work out your anger out on.
What now?
It's still flashing.
Cupid slapped his deckhand, dumped the mirror, and quickly pressed the complex sequence of buttons required to solicit an update from his control panel.
Oh, yes.
And there she was, his little yellow light in all its glory. This wonderful beacon was the one he'd been hoping for, the light of revelation, his mission. And this Clodfest crew member was interrupting his magnificent showy-off moment.
Bastard.
It was time to remind the whole crew whom was top dog here.
Hold it! Where is my cutthroat knife?
Oh, Capitano.
Well, me hair needs trimming. I like to look my best. Look at it.
Cupid sure liked to look good when it came to prisoner interrogations.
No, better make it the dancing scissors. I like a clean finish. Looking good for queen and country. The mirror, the mirror.
Carlos swiveled it around just in time for Cupid to admire his much-loved captain's hat, worn at the jauntiest of angles.
Off we go, then.
Capitano is on his way! Capitano is on his way!
Oh, and one last thing.
Yes, Capitano?
What did you do with those two old sea dogs from the Royal Hospital?
Capitano, you mean the old boys on the day out as a favor to Her Majesty, Capitano?
Yes, yes, the one that keeled over with the excitement of it and the other one that pissed himself at the wheel.
Capitano, they're frozen in the meter locker downstairs. Oh!
I think I'll give the liver and mash a bit of a miss tonight.
Chapter 5. Time for me cuppa soup.
In the anteroom to the city dungeons, the jailer tied his keys to his underarm hair as normal before slumping down at his desk. He looked all about him and noted his coffin delivery schedule up to date, the slop buckets in a tidy line against the wall, and the kettle on its little stand coming to a head, burbling away to its heart's content.
Time for me cuppa soup. Oh, bloody hell. I'll just put me bloody feet up. Who the shit is that then? Shall I? I'll go on then, cause I'm a decent, hard-working kind of bloke. The babes love me. Hello, jailhouse sex on legs here.
This is the resonator.
Fuck, it's him. Most masterful one.
Prepare the prisoner.
Which one, sir? Oh, you mean the old man, sir?
I am sending down a package.
Package, sir?
You will place it in the old man's cell.
What, with him, sir?
Unless you wish to join him permanently. Do it now.
Yes, right away, sir. Almost masterful one.
The communicator was terminated. Quickly, the jailer slid his non-standard issue nut crunches into his pocket and ripped the naked pictures of abused female prisoners from the wall in preparation. He spat on his hands, slicked back his hair, and stood to attention.
Something big's going down.
Chapter 6. No foreplay before breakfast.
The tank's hull felt solid. The climbing rungs onto which Switch placed his feet had clearly seen much service, given the worn handholds and rusty old clamps that affixed them to its hull. Working hand over hand, he wondered how many more marshland fugitives had lost their lives to a full-scale Reggie raiding mission like this one.
Shall I keep going?
Life out in the marshlands was hard, the land soulless, the weather unforgiving.
Keep going.
It was only when they reached the ornate wooden handrail at the top did they come face to face with the mighty cannon that had done for their bunker. It loomed forward of them like some silent assassin. A man held a gun to switch his head.
Over there.
A second crew member sporting a thick black mop of hair, but curiously thin eyebrows, joined him.
Move.
The two of them were immediately ushered across the deck towards a small roped-off area, awaiting their arrival.
Get all four of them in line.
Four of us? What are they talking about?
They turned to look with the two crew member back down the rope ladder, but the butt end of a thwackle blaster went on to introduce their faces to the cold slab metal wall beyond the roped-off area.
Negotiation over, I think.
A third person mounted the deck and joined them. No one pushed him. The man quickly ducked down when a marsh wader came out of nowhere and hit him on the back of the head.
Oh, for God's sake, you stupid!
Did you get it? You're missing a boot, mate.
I am bloody wearing mine, you ass.
I whiffed it and it ain't mine. I know me own
A fourth man laboured his way onto the tank.
Nice up here, innit?
Despite this man's super-size-me proportions, the big fella was quick enough on his feet to avoid the prod of a thwackle.
That's not nice.
Corralling him towards the rest of them.
No foreplay before breakfast.
move, oh, there you are.
A large man stopped himself halfway across the deck, stretched out his legs like a dancing Cossack, and patted the stomach of his one-piece rubber suit, as if to emphasize his lack of nourishment.
All right, boys, how you doing?
Us?
The big fella nodded at Creason and Switch as if he knew them.
Oh, yeah.
He then bent down, retrieved the welly from the floor, sniffed it, and promptly disowned it by lobbing it over the side.
Fuck that.
There was no further conversation between them. Not because they didn't want to find out more, but because of the cries of the many Reggie being lifted onto the ship. There were strong ones, weak ones, bold ones, and shy ones. Every character under the sun. Reggies roaming free in the marshlands were few and far between. Yet judging by the ambivalence of the crew, this ship was well versed in the art of their capture. The keep nets above their heads swiveled on their block and tackle before pivoting across the boom to the center of the ship and dumping all the Reggies into the cargo bay below. More cries went up, revealing there to be others already on board. Amongst their number, a feisty robotic cockerel, too small to remain in the keep net, jumped clear and flapped its way onto the main deck. The crew seemed completely disinterested, which is more than can be said for their two fellow prisoners standing beside them.
Look! It's Dennis!
Do you think he's edible?
He's all metal and no potatoes.
I knew a girl like that in this graveyard.
Oh, not her again.
Do I go on about her then?
Well, she was me effing sister.
Who were these two?
Hi, name's Bajetti. Nice to meet ya. Being neighbours and all.
Neighbours? No, it is not you.
Hello?
A bunker above you, on a higher level, stupid boy.
Now it was beginning to make sense, thought Switch.
Smell him.
Their dwindling food supplies. The fuel-hungry generator. Stowaways.
We would have remained undetected, you know. But some bastard lobbed a grenade right into our bit of the bunker, forcing us to abandon it.
Oh dear.
Bloody clever, these people. Because that granny came right up our asses from underneath. Without a pin in it.
Oh.
He had to chuck it at the fans.
Brilliant. I don't suppose you gentlemen know why we've been taken.
Gentlemen?
From his command position on high, Captain Cupid looked down his nose at the four turds beneath his feet, descended his three bridge steps, and made ready for their interrogation.